morning and welcome to the morning service. Our pastor is still out of town. He will not be back till Wednesday. Hopefully he's back by Wednesday. If not, John Draper will have to bring the lesson. No, he'll be back there visiting their parents. So God willing that everything turns out all right. I'll be bringing the message this morning. Bear with me. I was cutting the lawn Friday. It looked like alfalfa. And instead of me turning the sprinklers to let the water and the dust settle, I just went in there and I could see nothing but a cloud of dust all over me. And I paid the price. Friday I was miserable. Saturday I was miserable. And thank you for your prayers. I'm starting to feel a lot better, but I still have a runny nose, so pray for me. Welcome you here for the first time. We want to give you a warm welcome. If you're from the house, thank you for being here. Continue praying for Ray Little John, and as I think I spoke with him on Friday. He talked to me with Wednesday, said he wasn't feeling good. So Thursday I spoke with him, and he didn't sound good at all. He thinks he has COVID. Just heard some saying that they spoke with him this morning or Saturday, and he wasn't good at all. So continue praying for him, for the ones that are traveling. And we will pray that everything goes good this morning. Our choir is getting ready to sing. And if you notice when they're singing, listen to the words that they're saying, because it's all about worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The songs that are sang will prepare our hearts and mind for the message that comes. It's just like when you sit down at breakfast and they give you dessert or something light, and then all of a sudden you get the full meal. So this is what we're doing this morning. So let us go ahead and pray, and then the choir will be singing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon each and every one of us. Thank you for those that are visiting from out of town, and we ask a blessing for them. We pray for those that are not doing good, Lord. Those that are traveling, be with them. Bring them home safe. It's good to see Ed and Faye, John and Ken back, Sam, and those that were out. We thank you, Father, for them. Father, be with us this morning, and we'll give you, Father, the honor and glory. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen.
Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. And we're in the mighty host of sin. Just over. so very much for this day. Thank you for the anchor that we have, Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a solid rock. We just praise you for it. We praise you now and ask your blessings upon this offering, that we can give back a small portion of that that you so greatly blessed us with. And we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bow with me for morning prayer. Heavenly Father, it is truly a joy to be here in your house today. We thank you, Father, for all that you accomplished through our lives. And Father, for the many times that we fail you, Father, we are sorry that we have offended you. Father, at this time in our worship service, we just pray that you look down from the portals of heaven upon the men that are here. Father, we know what a challenge it is to live in these evil days. We know that the responsibility is great for each of these men, for all the men that are here, Father, kneeling, standing, and sitting. Father, we know that you depend upon us to get your work done. And Father, we need your help in doing that. And Father, knowing that these days are so evil around us, it is quite a challenge, but we do know, Father, that you are there with us. Your Spirit indwells each of us that knows you as our Savior, knows your Son. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for being the rock in our lives, the stalwart, Father, the strength that we so much desire and need in our lives. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that is present in your word, Father, through the actions of each Christian in this world. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit, the empowerment of all that your word accomplishes. And Father, we just pray today that you bless each man and each woman and each mother, father, grandchild, everyone that's within the hearing of this voice. Bless each one that's here, Father. Give us a great day in your name and your house. And Father, we give you thanks for so many things, including our opportunity and privilege to worship you. So be with us, Father, as we do so. And please accept our offering of love towards you. We give you thanks in the precious and holy name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Our scripture reading for today will be found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 25, if you'd like to follow along. And the word of God says, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock."
O sacred head, now and shame weigh down. Now scornfully surrounded with thorns, thine only crown. How pale thou art with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior. 'Tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor. Vouchsafe me to thy grace. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never outlive my love for thee.
I guess at this time we'll be dismissing the children to the children's church. So if you're here, have children, Brother Mike and Agnes are ready for them. Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 1. We'll be reading chapter 1 and 2. Bear with me. There's too much that I couldn't write it down. I have problems with my eyes, but I prayed and I asked the Lord to guide me, so I'll be reading the whole chapter, and so bear with me. But before we start, again, welcome to Harvest Baptist. There's people that say that we are all God's children. We are all God's creation. All of us are God's creation. Okay. But we are not all children of God. We need to understand that. Well, we are creation. You know, you become a child of God when you realize that you're a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. And you ask God, forgive me. For I have sinned against you. I ask that you cleanse me from all my sins. And I ask you to come in my life and wash me with your blood and fill me with your Holy Spirit. It is then that you become by faith a child of God. When the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And because you're a born again child of God, just like a little baby can't walk right away and you'll find yourself stumbling. But it's like, when I became a Christian, and a lot of little birds would come out of my mouth, every few words, beep, beep, beep. But you know what? The difference between then and now is that when I would say a bad word, nothing would stop me. I had no conscience. But when the Holy Spirit came to dwell in my heart, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, and this old flesh tried to speak the language that it used to speak, oh, you know what that was? That's the Holy Spirit speaking in you, and that's how you know there's a difference in your life. Matthew 6, and this is just something that I added on this before we get into the message, but in Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When you become a child of God, you might have the best job, the best house, the best car, and maybe you have a good bank account. But a child of God does not depend on what he has. He depends on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that he or she has is secondary to God. That makes a big difference right there. When God gives you, it's to glorify him. It's to use what you have for his honor and glory. But do you know that Satan also will give the world? Because if you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. That's plain and simple. It sounds bad, but that's the truth. And this is what we need to preach. If you're not a child of God, you are a child of the devil. You either are in or you're out. You can't be a window. A window is not inside or it's not outside. And so the devil will give his children also. Look at what happens in Matthew 4:8. Okay. Again, the devil taketh him, speaking about Jesus when he was tempted. Again, the devil taketh him up into exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and says unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. See, the devil gives you. He look at the stars and all these, that are in TV and all that. And some of them even pray to him because they belong to him. And the devil gives them and all the glories and all that. So sometimes, that's why people don't come to church, because they don't need God. They have everything that the devil has given them. And when the devil gives them, you know what? He brings pride. You don't need God. And the devil will give you anything to keep you away from church. The devil will give you anything to keep you away from God's people. The devil will give you anything but happiness. And he cannot assure you a place in heaven like our Lord Jesus Christ. He can give you anything, but when you die, guess what? You'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. And that place is a real place. And this is not in the Bible. I didn't read it. I don't know how it popped out into my mind, but I'm going to tell you a little illustration of a donkey and a pig. And they lived in a farm, and it was Friday, and the donkey was talking to the pig, and the donkey said, "Boy, I'm glad it's Friday." He said, our master really, he works me to death. He overloads me with wood, and he takes me here, and then he makes me walk all over. He makes me he puts a plow behind me and makes me make all those rows, and then he works me till late at 6 o'clock. I'm still working. How about you? How does our master treat you? And the pig looks at him. I have no problem. Oh, I have the best of life. In the morning, he feeds me good grain. And look at the little, he even put a corral around me. And look at all the hay that I can lay on. And he even gives me a shade. He gives me lunch. And he gives me a good supper. And he says, well, he says, he treats me so good that I'm looking forward for Saturday. Why? Well, I heard my master talking to some people out there that they were, on Saturday, they were going to make me pork chops. This is what the devil does. He'll give you anything you want. And then he'll pull the rug out of your feet. And you'll spend your life in the lake of fire. All those that had riches, and you look at the Bible, all of those that were rich, they are now filthy poor, burning in that place where that rich man was rich, and now he said, I beg of you that you send Lazarus and so that he can dip his finger. He wasn't satisfied with a glass of water. No, even a drop of water was more than an ocean for him. For I am in torment in this place. If you are here without Christ and you have a good life, don't let God tell you at the end of your life, say, thou fool. All that you have, who are you going to give it to? You're not taking nothing. This night, the Lord told that man, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and whose will all those things that you have go to? So that's just before I come into the message. But before we go into the message, I am going to ask Amen, if he can lead us in a word of prayer. Can we stand as we pray? And Ed, I got to know Ed when I first started coming to Faith Baptist in 2009, towards the end of 2010. I mean, to the beginning of 2010, and we became good friends, just like I have many friends here. But I've known him for years, and he's been a blessing in my life, and I hope that I'm a blessing and not a nuisance in his life. So, Ed, I'm going to ask you if you can open the service with a word of prayer. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this beautiful Sunday morning that you've given us to come and to worship and to honor and glorify your precious Son. I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, you would be with Enoch as he breaks the bread of life, Lord, that he brings the message that you've placed upon his heart. I pray, Heavenly Father, also this morning that you would be with our pastor as he travels, and Michelle. Give them a good time, Lord. Let them have fun with their family and enjoy their parents and their son and all of their relatives. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd just go before them and that you would make their pathway clear that they might enjoy their vacation. We look forward, Heavenly Father, to what Enoch has for us this morning. I just pray that you would open each of our hearts, that we would receive your word, because it's all about you this morning. We thank you in your precious Son's name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I've titled today's message, The God of the Mountain. Okay? There's a song that I think her name is Linda Randall. The God of the Mountain. And as I was listening to this song, I related it to my life. And I can relate it to your life. When everything's going good in our lives, you have a good bank account, your health is doing good, your family is doing good, okay? When life, it says here, life is easy when we are upon the mountain and we have peace of mind, like we'd never known before. It says, but things change when we're down on the valley. All of us have been up there. And some of us have gone through valleys, many, many valleys. Okay? We talk of faith when we're upon the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life is at its best. Everything's going good, and when you're on top of the mountain, you can see for miles away. The sun is out, and it's just going great. But there comes times in our lives where all of a sudden, the clouds start forming around us and they start getting black, and all of a sudden you hear thunder and the wind blowing, and before you know it, you're down in the valley. You're down in the valley and your life starts changing, okay? But we shouldn't lose faith, for we are never alone as God's children. We're never alone, okay? For the God of the mountain is still the God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still the God in the bad times. The God of the day is still the God in the night. Job had a good life, was a good Christian man. And in Job 1, we see him, everything's going good for him. His health, his children are well educated. They've already grown, and he taught them well, so they have their own houses, and they're even running his property, his farm, his land. They're running it. His three daughters and seven sons, and they're already of age. And look what happens here. Job 1, bear with me. There was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him seven sons and three daughters. They had no TV. They had big families back then. Oh. His substance also was 7,000 sheep. And 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she donkeys. And a very great household. He had butlers. He had workers. He had manservants. He had butlers, waitress, and everything inside. He had a big old home. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. Happy birthday to you. They were very united, and they each had, can you believe it? They were well educated, and they all had their own houses. They were about 20, 30 years old by then, but they weren't married. And they were very well educated, and they were running his father's business. And so when they would have a birthday, they treated their sisters with all the respect that of the world. And they would call them and okay, your brother's, it's your birthday, your brother's birthday. They would, happy birthday to you. And oh my goodness, they had servants right there serving them, and real nice home. Everything's going good. And it was so when the days of their feastings were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Our sons, our daughters are grown, they're most of us, they're gone. We're grandpas and great-grandpas. And but you still pray for your sons and daughters. Lord, I know that you gave them life and I did everything, but sometimes they do what they're not supposed to. So, Lord, I pray that you bring them back. And that'll be something that a dad, a mom will always have, praying for our sons and daughters. And even if they don't obey, you keep praying for them. You pray for your son, for your daughter, and let the Lord work with them through the Holy Spirit. You pray for them, okay? So this is what Job was doing. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." You know what he's doing? Telling on you. You know what Satan is called? The accuser. And what he's doing, he comes, "Look at John. Did you see what he did? Look at Tony." And the Lord says, "Their sins are washed in the blood of the Lamb." But he's accusing people. And so can you imagine him accusing people that don't belong to God? It's so sad. So it says in verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" If you want to put your name there, if you are a child of God, put your name there. Why? It says that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that fears God and eschews evil. When you and I became a child of God, God sees us as perfect in his eyes. And God wants to use us and is using us. And so it says, "And Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear thee, fear God for naught? Has thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed him, the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land because you protected him. But put now forth thine hand," I'm sorry, "but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy faith. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he has is in thine power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forward from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house." Another party, a lot of good times. "And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding besides them. And the Sabines fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Satan started with the bank account. Satan started with the possessions that he had. Then he goes, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped to tell thee." All of a sudden, there was a storm, a rainstorm, and there was a lot of lightning. Guess what? Lightning struck all the sheep and the men that were taking care of them. And that's how it says fire came from. It's talking about a storm. And it killed everyone that was around. Can you imagine? You have your feet wet, and then somebody puts an electric cord and throws it right there. What's going to happen to you? And this is what happened to them. They became fright, okay? And so it says, While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. I mean, he's having trial after trial after trial, and we can relate that to us when everything's going good, and all of a sudden, every red light that you can come to will be red instead of green. Everything will be going wrong. And then he said, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. All of a sudden, all this has happened. Now there's a tornado. Have you seen that, The Wizard of Oz, or Dorothy, and all of a sudden that tornado, and we've seen what damage a tornado can do. And all of a sudden, because Satan was involved in that, and all of a sudden, God is taking everything that, not God, but Satan has been allowed to take the possessions and the bank account and everything in Job's life. Where am I at? And 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and murmured. It says, he fell upon the ground and worshiped. This is what a child of God does when he loses everything he has and he puts everything secondary to God. Yes, I lost it, but my main source is God, and I still have him. And so he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all these things, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. See, that's what the devil does. He doesn't want you to get close to God, but yet when something goes wrong, he says, blame God. But we as God's children, when something goes wrong, we'll praise him, because when we go to heaven, as Job said, we will take nothing but our own souls to heaven. And we will take home those that we won for the Lord. Those you will be taking home. They will be there because one day you witnessed to them and they came to know Christ and they'll thank you. There's many people that are now gone home. And I thank God that me and others had the opportunity that they'll probably say, thank you for witnessing to us while we were down there. And when I go home, I'll say to those that witnessed to me, thank you for guiding me in the path of life. Okay, and so now we go on to chapter 2 again. See, Satan has taken all the possessions, all the things that he has, but his health is still in good shape. And Job was one of the healthiest person that you can find. I mean, he would eat the best food, the best diets and all that. And all of a sudden, okay, Satan says, well, if I can't get him with his bank account and with his possessions, okay. And so now he talks to God again. See, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered and
the Lord and said, from going up, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down again, tettling again. And the Lord said unto Satan, has all considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and that fears God and eschews evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. But put forth now thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. So now look what happens. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Again, God is in control. So went Satan from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from his soul, from the sole of his foot to his crown, from the bottom of his feet, where you can't walk if you have blisters. You can walk if you have blisters over here, but no. And those were big old blisters, and they came all over his body and his face up to his skull. Big old blisters. All of a sudden. So now, yes, now I want to see you worship God, Satan's telling him. Okay? Where am I at? Okay. And he took him a potsherd and scraped himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes and said, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now she was saying, many have it wrong. She said, yes, I know that you love God, but I mean, you're suffering so much. Just pray that he takes you home. And so he answers her back. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speakest. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did Job not sin with his lips. Let me tell you. In my life, and I'm one that has been through many, been on the mountain, and I've gone through many, many valleys in my life. And so are many of you have gone there, and you know what I'm talking about. Many of us have been where the enemy's coming behind us, and then all of a sudden we see a sea in front of us, and just like Moses, now, see, blame him. He brought us out to die in the wilderness. Sorry. I remember when they called me to start a Spanish ministry at Faith Baptist in Glendale. And it was all speaking church, a lot of elderly people, and they were setting their ways. But the pastor said, I have a burden for this community around here, but I don't know their language. And so when we started, we prayed for a whole year and planning how we were going to do it. And at the end of the year, Pastor Brittany Stewart and myself, I remember we went that Saturday. And the people, you're too old. And you're too young. You don't know what you're doing. And Pastor had a vision because the Lord had called him to start a Spanish ministry. And so me and Pastor went to that corner and said, Lord, you have called us, but the enemy is behind us, and your people are murmuring against us. And all of a sudden, the Lord told Pastor Benito and myself, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And all of a sudden, that ocean just opened. And Pastor and I were able to walk right through that dangerous sea, walking through those walls. And when we made it across, the Lord shut the ocean behind the enemy. And because of that, there's a bilingual church at Faith Baptist in Glendale. We started it. Pastor has gone home and I'm over here, but there's a new pastor and he's doing a marvelous job. But we've all been there in your lives when people have told you you can't do it. And all of a sudden, when it doesn't feel good, okay? I remember when COVID hit, I lost a lot of family members, a lot of friends, a lot of pastors, the pastors' wives. And we were going, everything was going good. I remember that my mom had just turned 86. And because of COVID, the church where she was going, they set her outside in front of her house. She lived with my brother, my youngest brother. And they made, the church made a parade for her. They were passing with cars, and it looked like parade with cars and flowers and happy birthday. And she was all excited, sitting in a cowboy chair, a lawn chair, and a big old cowboy umbrella. And she was all happy. And we were looking at it through the internet. We were watching that, and it was such a great time. That was in September. But all of a sudden, the clouds started coming. And by the October the 28th, my mom passed away. 2 weeks after that, my younger brother passed away. COVID. And I'm trying to deal, well, I know my mom's old and I know she was ready to go home. But my baby brother, that I had a real close relationship, all of a sudden, 2 weeks after my mom died, he passed away. And while I am mourning for my younger brother, 2 weeks after they call me and say, your sister has died also. Boom, boom, boom. In your life, everything was going all right. I remember the mother of, the grandma of Harvest Baptist, Vera. We called her the grandma. And all of a sudden, she went home. And all of a sudden, you have Melinda, great person. And everything was going right with Carrie and all that. But all of a sudden, boom, from being on top of the mountain, and now he found himself in the bottom of the valley. And I don't know if you got to know Curtis, Carla's husband. I used to call him the gentle giant. First time I met him, he drove up in a silver Corvette, a silver bullet. And he got down with a big old cowboy hat, big old guy, and shiny cowboy boots. And he was leaning against a wall on the fellowship hall. And I go up to him and I say, hey, how's it going? And he says, my name's Curtis. And we introduced to each other. And he was the most pleasant person to be around. He was. And Carla was up there on the mountain, but when she lost her husband, she found herself in the bottom of the valley. Clouds all around. And then Rose went home. Your aunt. And then Jill went home. What's going on? What is, even though we were down there because, yes, I love my mom, I love my brother, I love my sister, but to them, if I compared them to God, they would come second. And I would always put God first. And when you do that, that's a big difference. Look at what happens here in Habakkuk 3:17 and 19. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the laborer of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. There's no meat in the refrigerator. The flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no bread in the stall. Yet, look at this, a person of God, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. What is it that keeps us going? Because we know that one day we will see them. We will see them up there. It doesn't matter how hard you are going through a trial. Some of us have been there many times, but we know that the sun will rise up again in our lives. And God will give us the strength that even if he causes some of us here, all of a sudden cancer. You had a great life, and now you don't know if you're going to live a week, a month, or a year. But what is holding you together? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. Although there's no remedy for my disease, my cancer, with all this, I will praise the Lord. And this is what we need to see as God's children, that this is our comfort, because everything that comes here is secondary, and we will take nothing with us but our souls that are washed in the blood of Christ. And it says, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon my high places to the chiefest singer on my string instrument. It's kind of hard for us to be singing when we're sick, huh? But there's always joy in our heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because we are pilgrims just passing by. And one day we'll go home to where we belong. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore when you have the Lord. We have a purpose here. And yes, it's good to have money. It's good to have good health. But you know what? Those are secondary, because if not, there's people that had a lot of money. I know people that were rich, and all of a sudden the economy went down. You know what they did? They got a gun, boom. Because they had no hope. They were depending on what they had instead of the Creator that made them, that wanted to be their Savior. Okay? What causes us to walk firm? And this is what Daryl read in Matthew 7:27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded, or it was grounded upon a rock, and that rock was Jesus Christ. See, God, Satan, sometimes the Lord will allow the enemy to try us, not because he's obeying Satan, but because anytime God allows the enemy to tempt us or to test us, it's because there'll be growth and there'll be a blessing in our lives. And God sometimes proves us that way, whether we understand or not. And so, you have a home, and all of a sudden, a tornado comes and tears everything down, and you say, I have to start all over. But guess what? That foundation is still there. And when the storm is over, it's time to build up again. When we go through trials, and that's why it says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. That house is you and me. Life's trials and temptations will hit us head on. Why is it that Christina has joy when she has pain? Because of who she knows. Why is it that you and I, though we don't feel good, yet we are happy? Because we know in whom we have believed. We have a home in glory land, and our rock is Jesus. Our foundation is Christ. Look at, and I'm going to finish with this, Job. Look at the end of Job 42. Job 42, 12 to 10. So the Lord blessed the later day, the later end of Job, more than his beginning. For he had 14, see, he had 7,000. Now he has 14,000 sheep. And he had 3,000 camels. Now he has 6,000 camels. And he had 500 yokes of oxen. Now he has 1,000. And he had 500 she donkeys, and now he has 1,000. He had also seven. Look at what he had. He had also seven sons and three daughters. He lost all his family, and God gave them back to him. Isn't that a blessing? And so, we need to see that it doesn't matter what trials come our way here on earth, we have peace with our Lord and our Savior. I'm going to ask Marlene to lead us with a song. If you are here and you don't know God, I beg of you to surrender your life to Christ, so that you too can have that peace in your heart, that if you were to lose everything, one thing Satan cannot take away from you is your salvation. He can't take your soul away from you. And this is why you rejoice, because you bought in nothing and you'll take out nothing. Let's go ahead and stand. Maybe you have cancer. Maybe you're going through trials that you don't understand. Maybe you're down on the valley right now, or going through the valley. But let the Lord be your peace. Let Him guide you. Make Him your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're going through problems financially. You're struggling. But the Lord is in control. Trust in Him with all thine heart. And lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. If you are here and you want to talk to God, go ahead. The altar is open. Come and speak with Him. Say, Lord, I am a child of God, but I have been failing You. I ask that You forgive me. I've been in the valley, and instead of praising You, I'm being complaining. So, Father, I pray that You forgive me. I pray, Lord, that You give me the strength, just as You said, gave Job, that he was able to say, the Lord give us, the Lord take us, to Him be the glory. Father, thank You for the victory that You gave us in Jesus Christ. Father, be with us this morning. Be with us the rest of this day. Prepare us for the evening message, Lord. And also be with our pastor and his wife as they return. May they have had a good time and bring them back safe. And we'll thank You, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.